Reading comes from the book of Proverbs, first chapter, beginning in the first verse. And you can find this in your pew Bible on page 449 if you'd like to read along. Proverbs 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Precious Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the Word of God, and we're grateful for the passage of Scripture that was just read. We do ask your Holy Spirit to provide illumination. Father, that you would use me today. And we do ask that especially for those who are graduating, that they would have ears to hear. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise this instruction. The words of the wise and the riddles. We must understand the proverb and figure out what this means. You know, I was thinking about this week, and you see the red because it's Pentecost Sunday, but it's also graduation Sunday. And I sort of flipped a coin and said, you know, we're going to go for the Pentecost sermon, or are we going to go for the graduation sermon? And the former youth pastor in me went for the graduation sermon. And just thinking about what needs to be said, what needs to be said this morning to those who are starting a new chapter in their life. What are the things that I would have needed to hear or would have liked to hear as I went from high school to college? And so I thought of four things I'd like to pass on. And by no means this is an exhaustive list. These are just four really important things I think that those who are graduating and will be on their own need to heed. And the first, which if you want to follow along, there is a chance to fill in notes in the back of your bulletin, if that's your thing. If not, that's perfectly fine, just to listen. But the first important factor is this. Be careful how you use your time. Be careful how you use your time. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23 says, "In all labor there is profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty." And then in the same book, chapter 10, verse 4, "Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." So we need to think about the fact that mom and dad will not be around you to hold your hand while you're in college. And that means you have to make choices. You literally have to make choices. And the thing that's interesting about time is it's the one thing you will never get back. It's the one thing that you can never get back. And it's not that you will have less time. Many people think you'll have less time, but that's not the case. It's just you have to make choices about where you're going to use that time. Now, when you get into college, especially as a freshman, you're going to be bombarded with so many different choices. And I can remember Friday nights, many Friday nights, in fact, most Friday nights, I chose to stay into the dorm, and I'm not just saying this because I'm standing in front of you. I literally chose to stay in the dorm and study. And I needed to do that because my goal was to graduate. And I can remember people walking by my room saying, "Are you going to come out with us tonight? Are you going to come out with us tonight?" And I'd say, "I just got to get this stuff done." And I could remember taking breaks from studying, and there would be, like in the Westerns, the tumbleweeds would go flying around the hallways, and there was nobody there. Like, literally, there was me and the other nerd at the end of the hall. Okay, but I needed to do that. I needed to manage my time. But here's the other side of this. At the end of the semester, every semester, I'd walk by someone's dorm room, and they were busy cleaning out their dorms. If you don't think time passes us by quickly, have you noticed the date today? It's June 4th. It's like June 4th. It was just Christmas. It's June 4th, 6 months like that. And as you get older, time passes you by quicker and quicker. Here's something I read earlier. It's in a book by Chuck DeGroat. The book is called Wholeheartedness. And the subtitle is Busyness, Exhaustion, and Healing the Divided Self. And in it, in the very, very beginning, the first page, he quotes Dr. Seuss. How did it get so late so soon? It's night before it's afternoon. December is here before it's June. My goodness, how the time has flown. How did it get to be so late so soon? If you're not careful, your time will pass you by. So you must be careful how you use your time. Secondly, you want to choose your friends wisely. You want to choose your friends wisely. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so shall one man sharpen another. As iron sharpens iron, so shall one man sharpen another. Ouch, that's painful. Think about it. Iron sharpening iron is not pretty. There's a lot of hammering involved. But the Bible says in the same way, so shall one man or one person sharpen another. Now think about that. I just told you to choose your friends wisely. That means your friends, the people that you should surround yourself with, are actively making you a better person. And sometimes that's painful because what we have the tendency to do is have an agenda and find people to meet that agenda. They just okay everything we do in life. And you're going to have to be very careful of doing that in college. So you're going to have to choose your friends, key word, wisely. Again, let's look at the scripture. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Oscar Wilde said it this way, a true friend will stab you in the front. Now, isn't that interesting? We don't want stabbed by anybody. But the point is this, faithful are the wounds of a friend. That means the people you surround yourself with, hopefully, will have enough courage to tell you the truth. And you see, when you're veering off to the left and veering off to the right, it is your true friend that will come up to you and say, that's not how you should be living. So you must choose your friends wisely. Again, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born in adversity. A friend loves at all times. And so you're probably thinking, well, if somebody loves me, they'll just pat me on the back. But that's not the case. Because if somebody truly loves you, they will love you enough to tell you the truth. Paul teaches this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, do not be deceived. Bad company will corrupt good morals. Now, I know all of us have intentions of being lights in dark places. We all want to be salt. We want to be Jesus' mouthpiece. But I'm here to tell you that over time, the people you surround yourself with will either pull you down or lift you up. It's a concept called spiritual gravity. The people you surround yourself with will either raise you up over time or over time they will pull you down. That's why Paul says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Sure, you may think I'm being a good example, and maybe you are. But if you are only continually surrounding yourself with people of a low moral character, you will be dragged down. That's why this is so crucial. choose your friends wisely. So here is what I would suggest. As soon as you get into college, find a group of like-minded Christian people. Sometimes there are actual groups that meet on college campuses. And I would suggest getting involved with one of those groups. That doesn't mean that has to be your only group of friends, but it is important to plug into that group, because you will then form friends and they will help you through the years, and they can help be that voice of reason to you in the times of temptation or trial. Next, you need to get a grip on your money. You need to get a grip on your money. Some of you are meeting here on Tuesday nights with the Dave Ramsey class, and so this is fresh on my mind, and that is an excellent class. Just a shameless plug. If you have not been through that class, I highly suggest next year going through it. But listen again to the scriptures. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to an advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. And here's the main point I want the graduates to hear today. The world is trying to separate you from your money. And they do it in a way that's pretty incredible. You know, they create what I call organized dissatisfaction. So you have your iPhone, and it's great until the next model hits. Then all of a sudden, that new cell phone that you saved all your money for or got it on credit just doesn't seem as great anymore, does it? And then you get that, and then the next one comes out, and that one doesn't seem so great either. But this happens all around us all the time. And so I would suggest one practical application, and it's so normal for me to do this. I regretted it after I had to go into garbage and get this. This is yesterday's credit card application. And I automatically just rip it up and throw it out. And I thought, oh, that would have been a lot cooler if I just would have said, here's what I want you to do with your credit card application. Rip it up and throw it away. You don't need it. And as soon as you get to college, you're going to be getting those in the mail. And here's what my father always told me. He said, the more debt you have, it's like starting your life in quicksand. You may not realize it at this time, but there's going to be a day where you have to start paying it back. There's going to be a day where you want some freedom, but now you're in quicksand. Maybe up to your ankles or your knees, you don't know. But get a grip on your money. Dave Ramsey always talks about this concept, buyer beware. Buyer beware. And he emphasizes over and over and over again that people want to separate you from your money. That's their job. So you have to be cautious. Finally, you have to live with the end in mind. You have to live with the end in mind. And for those of you that are familiar with the late, great Stephen Covey, excellent author. He wrote several leadership books. Some of you have them in your office. They're probably free in the library. I would recommend getting one or two of those. They're tremendous. But in it, he talks about this concept of starting with the end in mind. And the basic idea is this. How do you want to be known? How do you want to be known? So you're starting college. In 4 years, how do you want to be known? Do you want to be known as the crazy, wild person? Do you want to be known as the studious, smart guy? And so whatever that is, he says, figure that out and then live accordingly so that at the time of graduation, people will say, that's how this person lived. So I'll give you a different way of thinking about it. My high school reunion is coming up, and I will go back to that reunion, and I will think about everybody I see just as they were in high school. They could have been a literal angel from the time high school ended to the time I see them again, but all that matters is how I knew them in high school. And I'm not saying that's right, and I'm not saying that's wrong. What I am saying is that's just the way life works. That's why D.L. Moody said this, if I take care of my reputation, my character will take care of itself. And that's why Abraham Lincoln said that character is like a tree. and the reputation is the shadow it casts off. So you must think about what you want to be known for. That is your reputation and your character. And it's absolutely critical that you think of these things. Because in 4 years, this is what you're going to be known for. This is what your legacy is. And so if I were to give you those four pieces of wisdom, it would be those things. I want you to think of those things. Number one, be careful how you use your time. Two, choose your friends wisely. Three, get a grip on your money. And four, live with the end in mind. Let's pray. Lord, these words no doubt resonate with us in this room, hitting us all perhaps differently, whether it's the first time we've heard things like this or the millionth. Oh God, it's critical that these truths sink into our hearts and minds and we order our lives around them. We pray especially for those who are graduating. Lord, that these four things would become qualities that they're known for so that they are blessed richly as they walk through these 4 years and even more importantly, as they get to that milestone again and go to live their life freely with your blessings. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The table is set, and this table reminds us of the incredible love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this table is also set for those that trust in Him, that love Him, and have been called according to His purposes and walk daily with Him. This table is also a reminder that we are not perfect, that there was one who was perfect, and that's Jesus. So, as the Bible teaches us, take inventory of your life before you partake. So let's spend some time in quiet. And I pray that during that time you would communicate with the Lord anything you need to communicate and make it right. Amen. Now let's pray together the great prayer of thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, O Lord our God. Therefore we praise you, joining the song of the universal church and the heavenly choir. Blessed is Jesus Christ, our Savior. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon this bread and cup. We bless you, God of glory, now and forever. Amen. Listen to the words of Scripture penned by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Here we have the Lord pouring out his blood for us, for the forgiveness of our sins and the breaking of his body, that we may come to know him in an intimate way. With the elders who are